We want to look at Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph.
Lamed Vav.
Yes.
You're really chugging along.
Yeah, Mirtz Hashem. And this sugya is the sugya Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda appears on the bottom of Lamed Hey Amud Beis. And the Mishnah on Lamed Hey Amud Beis.
I need another book. Where would Zvachim be in the today?
So you're looking at the Mishnah on Lamed Hey Amud Beis. We're going to take a look at the Gemara on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph.
Lamed Vav.
So again, you're looking. I'll say it again. You're looking at the Mishnah on Lamed Hey Amud Beis. We're going to be learning. We're going to be learning the sugya on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. But I want you to just see the Mishnah on Lamed Hey Amud Beis, so you know what we're talking about. If you follow my point.
Yes. Okay.
Because what I'm trying to do is choose sugyas as we go along, mm-hmm. and study them be'iyun. But you know, we also have to go through the bekiyas. You know, the simple pshat. Okay, so we're talking about the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. I don't know if you can tune in on that.
Yeah.
And Rabbi Yehuda's shita is a very unique shita because, listen carefully, until now, mm-hmm. we've been talking about a machshava poseles of either chutzlum komo or chutzlus mano. In the case of chutzlum komo, it passes the karmon. In the case of chutzlus mano, it even generates pigul. But in what's common to both chutzlus mano and chutzlum komo is that he's going, the Kohen has full intention to be Zorek the Dam and to be Makta the Emurim. Just that he has in mind to do it outside the framework of the location or the time framework, the time allotment for the Karba. Rabbi Yehuda is going to extend Machshava Poseles to include any case where in his machshava the karbon would be possible. Let me explain. If a karbon is brought and the zrikas hadam was not implemented, would that karbon be kosher? There was no zrikas hadam? Again, I'm just asking you the basics. This is something that a six-year-old would understand. If let's say a karma was brought, but they did not do Zrika Saddam, would the karma be kosher?
No.
Comes along Rabbi Yehuda, and he says the following. If he had a machshava not to be Zorek the Dam, that also is a machshava poselis. In other words, we enter into his mind, so to speak. Again, it's going to be a declaration, but and we're saying that if he would implement the exact plan that he had in mind, the karbon would be possible, then the plan itself is equal to having implemented that plan, and the karbon is possible. So even if at the end of the day he would be Zorik the Dam, mm-hmm. but since he had a machshava not to be Zorik the Dam, that itself passes the karma.
There's pigul and karet and everything.
Well, no, pigul is limited to a case of chutzus mana. That's the way pigul works. But we're talking about,
well, in this case, he's not
passing the karma.
In this case, he's not doing it basman.
At the end of the day, let's say the zrika was done basman, but the kohen at the time of the avoda had a machshava not to do any zrika at all. So the Chachamim say that there's no such thing as machshava poselis unless it's A, chutz lizmano, B, chutz lemko, meaning you do intend to do the zrika, but outside of its location, outside of its time framework. Rabbi Yehuda extends and he says the following. Ask yourself the following question. What if X, Y, or Z would happen? If he had a, would the karma be possible? I.e., he wasn't Zorik the Dam, the karma be possible. Then the Machshava Poselis tells me if he had a Machshava not to be Zorik the Dam, which is called in the language of Rabbi Yehuda Lehaniach, Lehaniach Lemocher, in other words, you know, I'll take care of it 10 years down the line, kind of, so to speak, that also passes the Karbon, because whatever would passel the Karbon Lemaisa, meaning Befal, would passel the Karbon through Machshava.
Okay.
And the Gemara is going to now spend a lot of time trying to figure out how Rabbi Yehuda knows such a thing, because this is not something we're familiar with. We're familiar with Machsheves Chutzim Zman Chutzim Komo, and that's all derived from Psukim, and that passes the Korban B'Machshava. And now Rabbi Yehuda says, no, any Machshava whatsoever, it doesn't have to be limited to Chutzim Zman Chutzim Komo. If that Machshava, if it would be realized, the realization of that Machshava L'maisa, it would pass the Korban, and the Machshava itself passes the Korban. That's how far Machshava Posels go.
Even if he ultimately does.
Correct. Obviously, if he doesn't ultimately do the Zrika, there's nothing to talk about. The Korban is Posel. But we're saying that the Korban is Posel at the very split second that he had that Machshava, Lohaniach Lemacher, that I don't care about Zrika Saddam. It's not on my agenda.
Am I right to understand that according to, I don't know, Tosfot, some Rishonim, he would have to have said it?
Yeah. Again, we go back to that whole discussion. Again, that doesn't change in Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah, because again, let's assume just
somebody
let's
saying out loud, I'm not doing Zvikadadah.
Right. Let's just assume, you know, it has to be by Mira. That makes life a lot easier for us. We're not gonna try to, you know, put electrodes on his brain and see what's in his brain. That he made a declaration. He says, I'm shechting this karmon Almanas laniach es domo lemacher, which means lemacher here. This doesn't mean, you know, lach es mano, because that would be a machshavas pigul. But lemacher here in this context means I'm never going to do it. It's
sometime,
not going to be done.
Sometime,
you know, let's say, wake me up in 100 years, and maybe I'll do it. Now, there's another case that Rabbi Yehuda also includes in this. And that's if his machshava was that he won't be mocked to the imurim. Okay, that he won't be mocked to the imurim. Now that has to be understood, because usually aktaras haimurim is not what you call is not ma'akiv. It doesn't, if the absence of aktaras imurim, if the imurim are not burnt on the mizbeach ultimately, that doesn't pass the karbon. Because once the zrika saddam was done, the zrika clinches the kapara, and even if at the end of the day the imurim get lost or they become tame or whatever it might be, the karbon is still kosher. So that's a question that we have to address. Why is it according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he had a machshava on aktaras imurim, meaning I'm not going to be mocked at the imurim, that too would passel the korban? So what I want to study with you today, and I have a photocopy, I don't know, Shmuel, you able to make some more copies? Or you have your copies?
I have some other copies from...
It's Kuf Yudalad and Kuf Tevav.
Yeah, so you have the original copy, so to speak.
Yeah, Rabbi, excuse me, did you just say that the Imurim are not Me'akev, normally speaking?
Right, in other words, you can achieve a Kaparas HaKarbon, and the Karbon is Kosher, even if at the end of the day the Imurim get lost. In other words, the Zrika is the last Avoda that's necessary in order to clinch the Karbon and be Mechaper. Anything that happens after that, there are mitzvahs of achila, whether it's achilas adam. As far as I know, well, unless you know something that I don't know, you know. I'm always nervous when you ask me these questions that you know, you're going to quote to me a sugya somewhere in Kodshu, but you know what I'm saying.
That's what we need.
All right.
Again, I gave the original to Shmuel. I gave it. So I don't know, Shmuel. Either you made copies, or you didn't make copies. Okay.
Kuf Yudalad, Kuf Tevav.
Yeah. So what I would like, let's hold off with the copying. You have a copy, Shmuel. I feel my responsibility is to make one copy and then I give it to you guys. You know, again, that's all. I'm working with a premise that you come in before 9:30. So, but I can't. I can't help with that. You know. So again, you know that somebody is willing to order the sefer for us, and if you want to chip in, there are 3 volumes to this work, and the page I gave you actually comes from the second volume.
How much does it cost?
I think it's 40 shekel per volume. Maybe they'll give you a special price if you order all 3. I don't know. I'm just.
Is this the one could you speak to the author?
This is the one that Sammy's.
Yeah, but I think Sammy was taking orders for volume 1. That's fine for the 11:45 shit. It's not so good for our 9:30 shit, because Ben says that we should use this time to learn Be'ilin, and therefore we're up to the second volume, and before you blink, we'll be up to the third volume. So if you can afford it, again, I don't know your pocketbook, I would say to order the three volumes. But if not, I'm going to be mischayev to make one copy. I'm not going to be mischayev to make more than one copy. That's as far as I go. I'll try to make more than one copy, but I don't. So let's, Rabbi Osa, before we get to the photocopy, because we're not going to understand the Nefesh Tova unless we have a good grasp of the Gemara itself. So I would like you to open up now, if you can, to Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Should I say that again? Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Okay, good. Great. So on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara asks about seven lines down from the top, "My time of the Rabbi Yehuda," and we're trying to figure out what is the basis for Rabbi Yehuda's conclusion that machshava poselis includes any kind of machshava which, if implemented, would pasel the korban, and we don't limit it to chutzus mano chutzum kol. So the Gemara suggests, in the name of Rabbi Lozer, to try to explain Rabbi Yehuda. Again, this Rabbi Lozer is an Amora, not a Tana. Trei Kroi Ksivi. There's an extra pasuk, and this extra pasuk appears in the parsha of what's called Nosar. Nosar means where you leave the basar karbon beyond its allotted time. You failed to eat it in its time allotted. And the first time the Torah addresses Nosar is in Parshas Bo, in Sefer Shmos, in the context of Korban Pesach. And there the Torah says, Lo sosiru mimenu ad boker, which means that you're not allowed to leave the karbon over till the morning. No, we're talking now about the night of the 15th of Nisan. That's what you have for the Achilas HaKorban. If you did not fulfill that Achila by daybreak, it becomes Nosar. So, Amar Abulazar, Trei Kroi Ksiv, Kosev Binosar, Kosev Echad Omer, Losa Siru Mimeno Ad Boker. This is the Pasuk in Korban Pesach, clearly telling you Nosar. Because of Echad Omer, and yet oddly enough, the Torah repeats itself, seemingly unnecessarily so, in the context of a Korban Todah. And there it says, Lo yanichu mimenu ad boker, in Vayikra Perek Zion. And basically, Rabbi Lutz is implying the following question: why did the Torah feel compelled to repeat itself and tell me Nosar a second time? We already have it with regard to Korban Pesach. We can therefore extrapolate from there that there's Nosar with regard to all Korbanos that were left beyond the time allotment. Why did the Torah need to repeat itself again, Lohiniach mimenu ad boker, with regard to Korban Todah? Now again, Korban Todah is a discussion that we'll have as we go along, so let's just leave that on the back burners. The main thrust of it is that now we want to apply and activate the principle, I hope you remember this principle, called Imeino Inyan, which means that if it's not necessary in this context, because the Torah already told me this, then we'll take it out of its context and we'll derive some sort of other halacha from it. That's called Imeino Inyan. And we've discussed this, I think, on more than one occasion. So he says the following: "Im eino inyan lehaniach tneu leinyan machsheves hinuach." Okay, let's explain. If a carbon is left beyond its allotment time, it wasn't eaten within its allotted time. That's called lehaniach. Lehaniach means you left it go. And we already know that if you let go of the carbon, meaning you did not eat it in its time, it's nosa. That we know from the parsha in Korban Pesach and Parshas Bo. Why did the Torah feel compelled to again repeat that if you left the carbon and you didn't eat it in its time period, it becomes nosar? And the answer is, this comes to teach you choshev machsheves hanocha, meaning he thought that he would not eat the karbon. And that's called machsheves hinuach. So please underline those two words, machsheves hinuach. Those two words capture the very essence of Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, that if it's Machsheves Hinuach, we view it as if he had a Hanacha before. Do you understand? And I would call Rabbi Yehuda Shita Machsheva Kemaisa. In other words, if the Maisa itself, meaning the reality itself that he's planning to implement, would passel the Karbon, then the Machsheva is considered as if he already did that Maisa, and that passels the Karbon. So therefore, in the case of Hanacha, which means he has no intention to eat this basar, that already passes the karbon with that machshava, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that Rabbi Yehuda derives from Eino Inyan. But again, the whole premise of this sugya of Eino Inyan is that there's nothing to justify the repetition of this nosar in the second case, which is in Parshas in Sefer Vayikra Parshas Tzav, with regard to Karban Todah. Now, if I can find a logical reason that would compel us to have this pasuk and teach us nosar in the case of Karban Todah, then I'm stuck, because then I can't apply the principle of Eino Inyan. To apply Eino Inyan, I have to be convinced that the repetition pasuk is completely superfluous. If it's necessary, then forget about Eino Inyan. You know that, and that's where the Gemara is going to now pounce upon Rabbi Lazar and say, "What do you mean Eino Inyan? I need the pasuk in the case of Karban Todah." That's going to be the next piece of Gemara that we have to study. So the Gemara now asks the following. Rav Yehuda Haikrola Hachi Hudiyasa, are you telling me that this second pasuk that says Lo Yaniach Mimenu Ad Boker in the parish of Karban Todah is unnecessary, and therefore we're going to use it only to teach me Machsheves Hinuach? Those are the two words I asked you on the line, Machsheves Hinuach. In fact, in truth, I need this pasuk in the context of Karban Todah for something else. And now the Gemara is going to quote a brisa, and the brisa is going to base itself on that pasuk in Vayikra Zion, which is the pasuk of Karban Todah. Now, we read the pasuk Lo Yaniach Mimenu Ad Boker, but that's really the end of the pasuk. Let's read the beginning of the pasuk. It says Ubisar Zevach Todah Shlomov Biyom Karbano Yeochel Lo Yaniach Mimenu Ad Boker. And what do we derive? This pasuk is made up of many, many different parts. Again, you have Chumashim in the back if you're so inclined to open up the Chumash, just if you want to see it inside. And again, I'll just repeat where the pasuk is. It's Vayikra Zion, pasuk Tesvav. That's 7:15. Do we have that? 7:15.
What's 7:15?
Okay. Chapter 7, verse 15. I only repeat myself because what I find is that after I say it twice or three times, people say, "Where is that pasuk?" So, 7:15, okay? Vayikra Zion, pasuk Tezvah. If you just want to see the pasuk inside. Why? Because this brisa is going to take apart this pasuk like piece by piece. Okay?
This way?
Yeah, 7:15. Yeah. You have it? What page is in the blue Chumashim? You have the article, so that's not going to help me. But in the big blue Chumashim, Vav Tesvav.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Zayin Tesvav, I meant to say.
Oh, Zayin.
Sorry. Now I'm getting confused already. 7:15, I called it.
This is 30, really? Tesvav. Uvasar Zvav.
Very good. Ubisar Zevach told the Shlomo biyom karboni yeochel lo yaniach mimenu ad boker. So just keep that pasuk in front of you, so that saves me the time of having to write it on the whiteboard. Okay. Lamadnu from the straightforward pshat in the pasuk, this is even before we get any drushes here. Lamadnu lesoda, a karban toda, shenecheles liyom v'layla, which means that it's eaten during the day, that's the day of the hakrova, and the night that follows. Because the Torah says, "Biyom karbono ye ochel." I'm hoping you're looking in the pasuk. "Biyom karbono ye ochel," and then it says, "Lo yaniach mimenu ad boker." Ad boker means the following morning, correct? So, for example, if let's say today is Wednesday, and we were makriv a karbon toda today on Wednesday, when would be the latest time you could eat that karbon?
Tomorrow morning.
Right, ad boker, not in the morning, but up until the morning. Okay, but not in the morning, meaning with daybreak, it's already too late. It already becomes nosar. Okay. Now, if you take a look at the first word in the pasuk, it says ubisar. So the Gemara is going to derive a conclusion from the word ubisar. Why? Because it could have said zevach toda shloma. Biyom karbono. It didn't have to say ubisar zevach. I mean, we're talking about eating something. It must be that we're eating the bisar. So why the extra word bisar? So this extra word bisar is coming to teach me something called chalifin. Okay, let's say a few words about chalifin, because the article that I want to study with you is about chalifin. Again, the word chalifa means many different things in many different contexts. But in this context, it means the following. The man set aside an animal for a karban toda, and it got lost. So he replaced the first one with the second one. So he did the afrashas karban on A. A got lost. Now he does afrashas karban toda for B, as a replacement for A. Then they found A. Somebody was Mekai in the midst of Hashavas Aveda. They located the first carbon. The second carbon, which was designated to replace the first one, is called Chalipin, otherwise known as Chalife Toda. And it will be brought on the Mizbeach. He can decide, by the way, which order he wants to bring it. In other words, he could decide that even though he found the first one, he got very attached emotionally to the second one, so he decides he wants to bring the second one first, which means the second one now is going to give him a fulfillment of his nether, of his pledge to bring a karban toda. And yet, even though the second one is now being brought first, if he decides that way, he has two alternatives. If he chooses to bring the second one first, and that's going to be a fulfillment of his vow to bring a karban toda, but nevertheless it has the status of chalifin, because it was originally designated as a second rate, a bullpen kind of karban, right, a replacement karban. It's called chalifin. We're going to soon see, in Mirtz Hashem, what are the repercussions, la'alacha, of calling this second string toda, calling it chalifin. There are certain new dinim that apply to chalifin. Okay then? So we didn't get to that yet, but you should know that there's a status of chalifin. Now, in the case of the chalifin, how long do you have to eat the basar? If the word ubasar here at the beginning of this pasuk is coming to include chalifin, then chalifin now is going to be nechal liyom v'layla. Just like the original karban toda, the first karban toda that he designated, had it not gotten lost, and he would have brought it on the mizbeach today, on Wednesday, he could eat it up until daybreak tomorrow, Thursday. Same thing applies to chalifin, because the word in the Torah here that teaches me chalifin is ubasar. And again, you read now the whole pasuk ubasar. It says biyom karbono liyachal lo yaniach mimenu ad boker, which means that you can eat it today and through the night, but not the next morning. That's called laila v'yom. Okay? And then we have something called Vlados. Vlados means if after he designated this particular animal as a carbon todah, it gave birth to another animal. That animal likewise has the status of a carbon todah, which means again that it's nechal liyom v'layla. Then we have a third case of tmuras todah. What does it mean, tmuras? He has a carbon todah in front of him, he has a behemoth chulin in front of him, and he says, Hare zu tmuras zu. And what he does is he transfers the kedusha of the carbon todah. Again, that's a bad word. I should say he clones the kedusha of the carbon todah onto the chulin. The original carbon todah remains a carbon todah. Nothing changes as far as the original. But the second one, on which he did a tmura, that becomes a carbon todah, and it too has the same restrictions, namely that it has to be eaten yom, meaning the day of the akrava, that's, I call that Wednesday, v'layla, and Wednesday night, up until, but not beyond daybreak, on Thursday morning. Minayin, how do we know all this? Talmud Lomar ubisar. This word ubisar, at the very beginning of the pasuk, is an extra, it's a superfluous, unnecessary word. It could have said v'todaso b'yomo ye'achel. Why did it say ubisar zevach todaso? We'll see what the word zevach is also superfluous, but now we'll focus on the word ubisar. And that's coming to tell me that all these kind of replacement, I call them second string todos, all have the same din of yom, and then the lila that follows the yom, as far as the achil is concerned. And when I say replacement, again, that word replacement makes sense in the case of Khalifa, because he lost the first todah and he replaced it with the second one. Or for example, in the case of Tmura, which is also a kind of replacement, because he already grafts the kedusha of the todah onto a behemas chulin. That behemas chulin is also like a kind of, you know, second string carbon. And then Vlad is also like a second string carbon. It's the baby born to the carbon that also has the kedushas todah as a kind of replacement, as a kind of chalip. And in all these cases, how do we know that the achilas habasar is going to be yom, the day of the akrava, and then the laila that follows? And that's all derived from ubisar. The braisa now continues. Chatos v'osham minayim. The Torah here is talking about a carbon todah, and it tells you that the carbon todah is eaten on that day, the night following that day, but it becomes nosa the very daybreak of the next morning. How do we know that that applies to a chatos v'osham? Talmud lomar zevach. In other words, there's another superfluous word in this pasuk, and that's the word zevach. It could have said todaso. If you see the pasuk inside, it could have said todas shlomav, etc. Why did it add zevach? Zevach is a more generic, inclusive term, and it comes to include chatos v'osham, which means that in the cases of chatos v'osham, who's going to be eating the basar? Anybody remember? In chatos v'osham? No, only the kohen, because now we're talking about kochin kochin. Excellent. But that's only Yom V'Layla. How do we know it's Yom V'Layla? How do I know that Chatos V'Yosham, if the Kohen doesn't eat it before daybreak of the next day, it becomes Nosa? That's from the extra word Zevach. Uminayin L'Rabos Shalmei Nazir V'Shalmei Pesach. Here we have two kinds of Karbonos, which although the Shlomim, nevertheless, we limit their achil until the very next morning. And those cases are Shalmei Nazir and Shalmei Pesach. So let's say a few words here about Shalmei Nazir. When a person who's a Nazir completes his Naziris, he brings three karbanos, a series of three. He brings an Ola, a Chatos, and a Shlomin. The most interesting of those three is the Shlomin. That's called E'ayel L'Shlomin. The Torah requires that he bring a ram. as a carbon shlom. That's called El Nazir. It's a famous concept all over Shas, El Nazir. If you learn Masechta Chulin and you're talking about Bittul Barov, then there's something called El Nazir. It's a whole parsha in Bamidbar Vav about El Nazir. Okay. Now,
can I ask a quick question?
Just one second. Okay. A stam shlomim. What's the law of a regular shlomim? How long do you have to eat it? Anybody remember this?
A day, a night, and 2 days, or two?
Exactly. You get 2 days for that. Okay, Lila and 2 days. Shnei yomim v'laila. The exception to that rule number one, we'll have two exceptions, is going to be El Nazir, which means the shlomim of a nazir when he completes his nazirus. And in that context, he can only eat the karma for 1 day and one night, meaning the night following the hakrov itself. And again, if you're talking about the general shlomim, which we said was shnei yomim v'layla, that's explicit in a pasuk. If you want to just make note of it, in Vayikra Yutes, we're not going to look it up now, but there it says, b'yom zivchachem ye'ochel umi machras. And even on the following day. Which means that let's say today, Wednesday, I'm bringing a carbon shlomim, I'm allowed to eat it today, that's one yom, I'm allowed to eat it tonight, that's the laila, and I'm allowed to eat it tomorrow until the day ends, until Shkia Sachama, that's a second day, so that's called shnei yomim v'laila, that's the classical shlomim. But in Torah Sheba'al Peh, Chazal derived that Shalmei Nazir is different than all other Shlomim, and it gets a din of Yom V'Laila. And the reason for that is, again, this is very complicated, not for us now, that there's a great resemblance in a very unique way between two Karbonos. No other Karbonos fit this category except for two, this description, and that's Shalmei Nazir and Karbon Todah. In both these cases, you have what's called lechamim. Lechem in plural, bread is called lechamim in plural. And both of these karbanos are you know, have a package of both. They include a package deal that includes both the karban itself, the basar, and the lechem. Okay, maybe you've heard of lachme toda. So if you've heard of lachme toda, now you've heard of lachme shalme nazir. And because of this great similarity between toda and shalme nazir, Chazal defined shalme nazir as a separate, unique category within the constellation of shlomim. And here, just like in the case of toda, the Torah limited it, clipped the wings on the Zman Achila, the allotted time for Achila, and limited it, restricted it to Yom V'Laila, and cut off the possibility of eating it the next day, which would normally apply in a classical case of Shlomim, as the Torah says in Vayikra Yutes. That's as far as Shalmei Nazir is concerned. Then we have the case of Shalmei Pesach. And we're going to learn this sugi right now according to Rashi's pshat. Rashi says that on the 14th day of Nisan, when we bring the Karban Pesach, we accompany the Karban Pesach with Shlomim. And that is called Chagigas Yom Arbasar. Okay, now there's something called a Karban Chagiga. And one example of a Karban Chagiga is a carbon which is brought on Yudalid Nisan, which is a very familiar date to us, because in Hilchus Kodshin, that's the date of what? Of the carbon Pesach. So together with the carbon Pesach, there's a shlomim that accompanies the carbon Pesach, which is called Chagigas Yom Arbasar. It's a special carbon Chagiga. And that carbon Chagiga requires Yom V'Laila. It means it can only be eaten for a day, meaning the day of the Akrova, that's Yudalid, and the night following Yudalid. And this is a sugya in Masechta Pesachim Adaf Ayin. The Gemara quotes Ben Tamo, one of the Tanoim, who says that Chagigas Arbosar is only eaten Yom V'Laila, not like other cases of a Karban Chagiga, which have a status of Shlomim, and it could be eaten for 2 days. Here it could be eaten only for the night and the following day. Talmud Lomar, how do we know this? Again, there's an extra word in our Pasuk. Let's go back to the Pasuk, and it says Shlomov. Meaning it could have just simply dropped the word Shlomov. It could have said Todah B'yom Karbon. It didn't say Todas. It didn't have to say Todas Shlomov. So the Torah is indicating that there are other Karbonos that have the identical din of Todah, and even though they're Shlomim, they should be getting 2 days, they only get 1 day, like the carbon Todah. Yes.
Isn't Todat Smichut to Shlomov?
Yes. So we could have said Todah and leave out the word Todas Shlomov. Oh, okay. The Shlomov is coming to include other carbon of Shlomim in this limitation called Yom V'Laila. Necheles L'Yom V'Laila. Lachmei Todah V'Chalos Urekikim Shebenozim Minayim. How do we know that the lechamim, the breads that come to accompany A, a carbon todah, and B, a carbon shlomim that's brought by a nazir when he completes his nazirs, how do we know those lechamim also are limited in the time allotment for achila to yom v'laila, tamid lomar karbano? Now once again we go back to the pasuk and we say that it could be, it could have said b'yom ye'ochel. Why did it have to say b'yom karbano? And the carbono comes to broaden the spectrum of the carbon to include not only the carbon itself, but also its lechamim, its accompanying bread, which is called lachmei todah. Now, we also have something called, there are four categories of lechamim, and they make up the following categories: chalos, rekikim, rechuva. All of these are made of matzah, meaning they don't allow it to ferment. And then it's called chalos shel chametz. Every one of these four categories is made up of 10 breads, 10 loaves. Well, actually the word loaf is not appropriate because 3 out of the 4 are matzah, which means 30 out of the 40 lechamim are matzah. Only 10 are chametz. Now exactly what happens to these lechamim, who gets to eat them and who not? Basically, the Kohanim get the right to eat one of each of the four, 10%, so to speak, one of each of the four categories, and the rest are eaten by the Bailin. Then it's Siv Mivalojan, I remember in his commentary in the Torah, has a whole philosophy here why there are so many lechamim that are given to the Bailin. How much bread can the man eat? So he has an idea that told us to give thanks to Hashem, and therefore he wants to invite others to join him on the Achilus Chum. That's a whole philosophical discussion. He doesn't even mention it here. I thought he would. Okay. Then we say the following: Kulam kore ani bahem lo yaniach. And regarding all the mentioned aforementioned cases or karbonos, we have the pasuk lo yaniach, which means that it becomes nosa the following morning because it's only eaten yom v'laila. So now we come back to Rabbi Yehuda. How does Rabbi Yehuda derive from this very pasuk in Todah because of the Eino Inyan to teach me machsheves inuach? I need this pasuk to teach me all these different dinim. So the Gemara answers him, Cain knows what's the drasha of Rabbi Yehuda based on. Lema kra, the pasuk should have said lo so siru. You remember back in Parshas Bo, in the context of Korban Pesach, it says lo so siru, don't leave over me menu ad boker. Here too, the Torah should have said in our pasuk that we've been dealing with in Parshas Tzav, it should have said ubisar zevach todah shlomo biyom karbon yochel lo so siru mimenu ad boker. Why does the Torah change the language, and instead of saying lo so siru as it does in the context of Korban Pesach, it says lo yaniach, right? Lo yaniach mimenu ad boker. It's not telling me any new din as far as Mosar is concerned, meaning if he didn't eat the basar in its allotted time and he left it standing there until the next morning. So why add what do you add or how do you edify my understanding by using the word lo yaniach? The answer is lo yaniach comes to include machsheves hanocha, that if he thought at the time of the avoda that he would leave the carbon and not eat it until tomorrow, that's called a machshav. So the Gemara says, ha tenach, I can explain that in the case of laniach, that if he had a machshava to leave this carbon out and not eat it, that passes the carbon. Because of the language of lo yaniach, yaniach means he left it, he had in mind to leave it. But lahotzi my ikol ameimar, what about a person whose machshava was to take out the dam out of the azara, which is called a psul yotze, or to take out the amurim outside of the azara? That's called a psul yotze. You remember this? We spoke about the psul yotze. So if he had a machshava of yotze, my ikol ameimar, that really doesn't fit into the pasuk. The pasuk is talking about laniach. Laniach means not to eat the basar. But here he's saying, you know, I have full intention of eating the basar, but I want to be motzi it, or motzi the dam, chutzlum komo. How do we derive this? Again, you might ask, I'm going to read to you the question he asks, umasha chishav lahotzi adam chutzla zara, lo klula bekach machsheves inuach, sharei dover efshariu b'mitzius sheyachnis es adam chazor lazor v'zirkenu alam izbeach af sheinu kiddin. So again, he's thinking of machshava for a psul of yotze. Until now we were talking about a machshava of a psul that I'm not going to be zorik the dam, I'm not going to be makter the emurim. Now Rav Yehuda is including even a machshava poseles because I'm going to bring the dam or the emurim outside the azara, and how do we know that's also included in machshava poseles? You can't derive it from this pasuk because the pasuk says laniach. Here he's not doing a hanocha. Hanocha means I won't be zorik the dam. He's saying he's taking the dam out of the azara. Maybe eventually he'll bring it back in and be zorik. So that's not included in laniach. V'od, and therefore, now I'm not sure how to interpret this word v'od. You can tell me how the English translation says v'od.
Furthermore.
Yeah, that doesn't help me yet, honestly. I honestly think that v'od means, I'm going to quote to you a brisa that indicates that Rabbi Yehuda was not arguing against the Chachamim based on this drasha of, again, what does it say? Lo yaniach mimenu ad boker. Why? Because, and I'll get back to the next couple of words, I'm deliberately skipping five words here. Desanya, we learned in a brisa, Omalehem Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda turns to the Chachamim and he says, don't you have to agree to me that if he delays the Zrikas Adam and he has no intention of being Zorik the Dam, that the carbon is possible, is af chishev l'nicho l'machar, even if he thinks about leaving it till the next day, possible? Oh, now notice that in his argument against the Chachamim, what is he using here? Is he quoting a pasuk, a drasha, or is he using logic?
Sounds like a svar.
Correct, he used logic. So that's what the Gemara wants to say now. You want to tell me that, I mean, you meaning Rabbi Lazar want to tell me that the reasoning of Rabbi Yud is based on a pasuk of lo yaniach mimenu ad boker, which is an eno inyan. And the Gemara patches it up by saying, Yimidaik it from the word Yaniach, it should have said, Lo so siru me'enu ad boker. I'll prove to you that Rabbi Yehuda's argument is not based on a pasuk. Because if he was arguing against the Chacham, he should have quoted a pasuk. But instead, he has a svara. Now I go back to the words that we skipped. The od time of the Rabbi Yehuda, I can prove from a brisa svarahu. It's just logic. He's not deriving it from a pasuk. And what is the logic? The logic is that if X would have happened, it would have passed the carbon. So if he had a machshava to do X, that machshava should also pass the carbon. So he summarizes this svara very beautifully. He says, "Kol sheim haya osekain haya posel asak carbon, af hamachashiv lasos kain posel asak carbon." That is in the Masifta. He summarizes Rabbi Yehuda's shita very beautifully. Okay, but now let's go back to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda spoke about dam, and he had in mind during the avoda. I'm not gonna be zorik the dam. But then Rabbi Yehuda had another case that I'm not going to be makta the murim. Now, if the logic of Rabbi Yehuda is that machshava for something that if he would implement would passel the carbon, the machshava passels the carbon, that doesn't make any sense. In the case of Haktaras Imurim, if he decides that he's not going to be Makdim Imurim, the carbon doesn't become possible. When does the Kashrus HaKarbon and the Kaparas HaKarbon get clinched? With Zrika. Anything happens after Zrika is, you know, that's all icing on the cake. You know, it's very nice if we can be Makdim Imurim, very nice if we can eat the Basar. But as far as the carbon itself and its kashrus, the clincher is the zrika, and not the Haktaras Imurim. So if he has a machshava not to be makta the Imurim, why would that passel the carbon? Kvar niskapu abaylin bezrikas adam. The ena carbon nifsal imei niach es Imurim. So he has a machshava la niach es Imurim, and lo and behold, Rabbi Yehuda says the carbon is possel. Why is that so? Haktaras Imurim, even if he doesn't do it, he doesn't implement it, would not disqualify the carbon. So he says that Tosus asks this question, and Tosus says the following. To eat the basar, which again means either the kohanim or the bailim, whatever the case may be, requires two matirim. I think Don, you asked me about this, right? What are the two things that have to take place before you eat the basar? Number one is zrika, and number two, haktaras imurim. Until the imurim are burnt on the mizbech, you can't eat the basar. So basically, when he has a machshava not to be makta the imurim, he's basically thinking about a psul in the basar. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, that itself is a machshava poselis. I mean, this is a radical expansion of Rabbi Yehuda. We thought the svar of Rabbi Yehuda was that he's thinking about something that would passel the carbon down the line. Haktaras Imurim, even if he delays it or he doesn't fulfill it, that's not going to passel the carbon. But what it does passel is it passels the basar. And that's a machshava poseles, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Tosus then backtracks and he wants to say maybe it's only midrabbanan, it's gzeres chachamim, that they wanted to passel the carbon, because if he's going to have such a machshava on Haktaras Imurim, tomorrow we'll have such a machshava on Zrikas Adam. But it seems that Tosus initially understood that this is a Doraisa Halacha based on Svara, that I can consider it a machshava poseles insofar as the basar becomes posel if there's no Haktaras Ha'imur. Alright, at this point, I want to pick this up. Yes, please.
What are the halakhic consequences of bringing the blood outside of the Zara before the Zrika? Is it irreparable? Can it come back in?
Well, not really irreparable. I mean, if there's still dam in the Tzavara Behema, then he can still replace that Zrika with another Zrika. This dam is completely irreplaceable. Okay. Sarath Biur. Again, this is on the bottom of page Kuf Yud Dalet. At least Shmuel has it. So that's better than nothing.
Where is it? Which page is Teth?
Kuf Yud Dalet, 114.
You guys, maybe you want to look at it together.
Okay. He says the following. I don't understand this concept of chalipin. Let's go back to Korban Todah. He was mafresh a Korban Todah. He lost it. He designated a second Korban to replace the first one. That second Korban is called chalipin. And the Gemara establishes, based on the extra word in the Pasuk, besar, that chalipin, like the original Korban Todah, can only be eaten Laila V'yom, as opposed to other Korban Shlomim that we said, Ubiyom Machroso, even for the second day. He doesn't understand this whole concept of chalipin. What does it mean, chalipin? Chalipin is a fulfillment of his original commitment to bring a Korban Todah. And in fact, if he chooses to bring the chalipin on the Mizbeach first, ignoring the original Korban that he designated as a Todah, even though now he located it, then he fulfills his neder by bringing the chalipin Todah. So why this whole discussion here, that, you know what, maybe chalipin Todah has a different din than the original Korban Todah, and maybe the achila of chalipin would be different than the achila of the Todah. The achila of Todah is restricted to Yom V'Laila, but chalipin maybe would go back into the general category of shlomim and give him an extra day. What kind of a havamin is that? Why do I need a pasuk for that? I mean, this chalipin is brought to fulfill his neder. Let me read to you one line here if you want to underline. In Cain, this is the next to the last line in this first paragraph here. In Cain, Zeu Korban Todah. This is a Korban Todah. V'yotze bo yidei nidro. He's going to fulfill his neder with this Korban. As we said before, he can opt to bring this Korban, meaning the what I call the second string Korban, as a fulfillment of his neder. Rashi, if you take a look, adds the word ukreva over here. Where is the Rashi? I'll just point this out to you. Of course, when I need it, I can't find it, but you'll have to trust me on it. Where does Rashi speak about chalipin? Oh, there it is. You see on line 3, on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, the last word in that Rashi is ukreva. Do you see that? Line 3, page Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, the last word in that big Rashi that ends on line 3, right before Vlados, you see the word ukreva. So kreva means that he's going to bring this second string Korban as if it were the first string Korban, and ukreva. Kreva means to fulfill his obligation. He so much craves to fulfill his obligation, therefore it's ukreva. Okay, that was bad.
No, I like
it. Okay. So why does this Korban get the status of chalipin, which implies that, you know, maybe different dinim will apply?
He leaped over the first one.
And furthermore, the Gemara Menachas on Daf Peyom and Aleph establishes that if he was mafresh a Korban Todah and he lost it, and now he designates a second Korban to replace it, Eina to Uno Lechem, the Lechamim will not be brought, the 40 breads, to accompany this Korban Todah. Why? Because we have a pasuk that says Vehikriv al Zevach HaTodah, that the Lechamim have to be brought for the Zevach HaTodah, HaTodah to Uno Lechem. And on the top of the next page, below chilufin to Uno Lechem, you see that even Lamaskana, chalipin has a different din than the original Korban. The original Korban that was designated requires Lechamim. The second Korban, which we call chalipin, doesn't require Lechamim. It has the status of chalipin. Fitzarech Iyun. He says, I don't understand that. My Ika Shem, why does it have this status called Chalipe Todah with new dinim? Kevin Shalom Yotze Yedei Nidra Rishon El Bazeh. He decided that he's going to be Yotze his Nether by bringing the second Karban. In what sense is the second Karban different than the first Karban? The first Karban, the first animal that he designated as the Todah, was to fulfill his neder. Now he's fulfilling the neder through the second Karban, but it's identical to the first. Why should it fall short? Why should it get different dinim? So that's number one. Number two, which I want you to see, on the bottom right column on page Kuf Tesvav, is Rashi says that if he decides, this Kohen, that the dam would be left till tomorrow, then it becomes nosar and the dam is posel. Says Rashi, let's take a look at Rashi. This is Rashi, Dibra Maskel She'im Hidiach. It's about 15 lines down from the bottom of the page. Rashi says, Im Hidiach Lemachar Shehu Posel. This is the logic of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, if he would have left the dam and not be zorkit, the carbon would be posel, then Chacham, you should be moed to me. If he had a machshava that he's going to leave the dam, that would be a machshava posel. So Rashi says, and if he leaves the dam until tomorrow, why would it be posel? So Rashi says, the dam nifsal b'shkia sachama. Dam nifsal b'shkia sachama. So the Nefesh Tova doesn't understand this, Rashi. He says, we have a psul called lina. Lina means that if you leave the carbon or the dam of the carbon past its allotted time, it becomes posel b'toras lina. Do you remember this? I think we discussed this. Now lina applies with Hamud HaShachar, and therefore Rashi didn't have to mention here dam nifsal b'shkia sachama. Even if there was no such din as dam nifsal b'shkia sachama, let's say you could have a zrika sadam even during the wee hours of the night, but nevertheless, if he's going to do the zrika tomorrow, the dam becomes posel immediately with daybreak, with Amud HaShachar, and that's called lina. And therefore, he quotes a Tosus here on the left column in the paragraph that starts for Yom Nam. Tosus later on at Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis, and it would pay to see that Tosus inside, I didn't get a chance to, writes that there's no such thing as Amud HaShachar with regard to Dam. No, there's only one possible psul in Dam, and that is Shkia Sacham. But if he left it the next day, it would be possible because of Shkia Sacham, but there's no psul of Amud HaShachar, which is your classical psul of Lina. Lina applies to the Basar, it applies to the Emurim, but it doesn't apply to the Dam. The Dam is immune from the psul of Lina. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, we had a discussion that in the Beit HaMikdash, day precedes night as opposed to other elements of Halakha. So is it possible that some dinim are actually day follows night, and other dinim are day follows night?
Well, what do you have in mind?
I'm saying the blood seems to be an exception, because if, in other words, if generally Shabbos Chag comes at night and then Vayera by Voker, but in the Beit HaMikdash, day begins.
Yeah, I got that. But now
the question is with blood.
Yeah.
So it could be the Rosh saying, don't think that with daybreak it's a continuation of the night. Just he's reminding us that the day. Daybreak is the start, and therefore Lina happens at that point. You might have a Havamina, it was at night, so it's not going to be possible until Shkia the next day. I'm just wondering if Rashi's preempting and having a different halakhic time within the Mikdash.
But again, you know, I think his question is still valid, meaning we have a psul called Lina. If you're asking me, is it possible to be Zorik the Dam tomorrow, the answer should be Psulina. That would be a classical case that would apply in Kodshim that would disqualify waiting till tomorrow, because with Amud HaShachar it becomes Lina. Why did Rashi feel compelled to mention Shkia Sachama unless Rashi holds that there was never a Psulina with regard to Dam? That whole category doesn't exist. Now, if that be the case, Rabosai, then we come to a very interesting conclusion that Dam is not subject to a psul lina, and the only possible psul that we could have regarding Dam is Lila. Okay? Now, this becomes very problematic. Yeah, Don?
Can you explain the difference between Nosar and Lina? They seem to be the same.
Well, Nosar tells me that if you eat from this basar, you're chay of karis. Nosar has nothing to do with dine psul. It's just telling you at what point in time do you get kares for eating something. Now is saying that there's something called lina, and now, you know, everything's possible, everything gets thrown out.
Okay.
Now at this point, he quotes a sugya on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. This is the sugya of Rabbi Yochanan, and here we're talking about chatos. And this is the subject of the next perek in Zvachim, the fourth perek. So we're learning the third perek, but we're jumping ahead to the fourth perek. Why? Because when we talk about matan damim, which means to do zrika, there are four corners of the mizbeach. There are arba kranos of mizbeach, and in the case of a chatos, you do a zrika on each one of these four. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan and he says that there's a fundamental difference. This is the sheet of Beis Hillel at the very beginning of the fourth parak. The fundamental difference between one and the other three. The first Matan Damim is absolutely critical. It's indispensable. Without it, there's no chatos here. But once he's already done one of the four Matan Damim, the other three matanos damim, which are called matanos achronos, the last matanos, even though they're three out of four, that's already a mitzvah of zrika, but it's not critical to the karbon. The karbon, the chatos, would be ole lebailim, even if he stopped in his tracks after the first matan dam. And Rabbi Yochanan comes along, and he says the following, that even though the other three matanos are not critical, if I could use that word, and I hope you understand what I mean, as the karma will be kashi without them, nevertheless, since the Torah required three more zrikos, so he's makabel adam from the Tzavar HaBehema in four different kelim, four different mizrakos, and he's got dam in all these four. He takes the dam from one of the mizrakos, and he does the zrika. At that point, he fulfilled that which is critical, the first matan damim. The other three kosos require also zrika on the mizbeach, but that's not critical. Those are the extended zrikos, not critical zrikos. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan, and he says that you should know that those three kosos, those three matanos, have many, many dinim which are identical to the first kos. So let me try to explain what I mean. If you had a spectrum here, there's one extreme, another extreme, and then there's something in the middle. The one extreme would be called the first matana. That's critical. The other extreme would be called what we call Shiori Adam. Still have to write that on the board? Shiori Adam. Shiori Adam means after he did the Zrika, there's some Dam left in the Kli, and there's a din of Shiori Adam, you know, that we pour that on the Mizbeach. But Shiori Adam, there are very few requirements, you know. And we'll see how we loosen our belt with regard to Shiori Adam. Now, in the middle between these two extremes are the three Matan Damim of Chatos after he did the first Matan Damim. Rabbi Yochanan says, and he gives a list of about seven, I think, six or seven psulim that apply vis-a-vis these other three Matanos, making them almost identical with the first Matan, which is called Chilosan. The word sofon refers to Shiori Adam. In certain very limited contexts, the matan damim of the three have the status of sofon, of Shiori Adam. I'll give you an example. Let's say, after they did the first zrika on one of the kronos HaMizbeach, the bailin died. Now, normally we don't bring a chatos after Misa. And Rabbi Yochanan says that the other three matanos require zrika, even though the Bailam are dead. In that sense, it's kitchilasam, let's say. In that sense, it's kisofon. It's like the din of Shiari Adam. If it was kitchilasam, meaning if the Bailam had died before the first matan domim, then the karban is meaningless. There's no such thing as bringing a chatos after the person died. And he didn't do the first critical zrika. Once he did the first critical zrika, then to some extent, the rest of the zrikos, the other three zrikos, are like Shiari Adam. And the requirement that the Bailam be alive is dropped. So there'll be a zrika of three from three kosos, from three clay shores of dam, even though the Bailam is gone, and we're talking about a carbon chatas. Meaning, it's almost as if these zrikos take on a whole new personality. They're no longer seen as chatos. You know, to talk about a zrika on a carbon chatos, zrika's dam, when the Bailam are dead already, that's a contradiction in terms. But apparently, to some extent, the other three zrikos now take on like a more generic kind of status of personality. And therefore you can do the zrika even after Mises HaBailam. Okay. But for other dinim, we're going to require the same conditions to be extant, you know, with regard to the other three zrikos as the first zrika. This is all a sugya later on in Daf Lamed Ches, Amid Beis. I saw in the English translation here, he gives you the whole list, and he did a very beautiful job. He says, for example, the other three zrikos have to be done by day and not by night. They have to be done inside, you know, inside the azara, not outside the azara. A zar would not be kosher for these zrikos. You need the zrikos from a kli shoreis, not from a kli chol. And there are other dinim you have to do what's called the etzpa. If some of the dam sprinkles get splashed onto someone's garment, you need kibus, you have to wash it out. In that sense, regarding this, the let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 dinim, it's kitchilasam. These other three zrikos have the same status as the first zrika. However, none of those requirements would apply to the shirayim, which means, I'll read to you his English, he says, the blood remaining in the vessel, in the klishares, is considered shirayim remnants. It's poured on the Yesod HaMizbeach. Now let me read to you another footnote here. He writes that none of these seven requirements, these conditions, apply to the remnant blood, meaning the Shiari Adam. That's not part of Zrika. Therefore, one who pours it outside the Beis HaMikdash will not be Chayv Kores or Chatos. And again, the Shiari Adam are poured on the Yesod HaMizbeach, not on the Kronos, like the other four, you know, Matanos of a Korban Chatos, rather on the Yesod HaMizbeach. Not only that, he says that Shiari Adam can be poured onto the Mizbeach, meaning onto the Yesod HaMizbeach, after nightfall. So with regard to this mitzvah that applies to Shiari Adam, there's no din of Dam Nifsal B'Shkiyah Sachama.
Because the process was started before it was nightfall. Maybe the first zrika was done before nightfall, then you continue.
Well, no. Again, all four zrikas have to be done before nightfall, but the Shiari Adam, any leftover remnant Dam, that doesn't require Yom. It could be even done at night. There's no din of Psul, with regard to Shiari Adam. So now we're in trouble, he says. Why? Hashta, e name of the Dam Eno Nifsal Balosa Shachar. If we're going to go with Shita Satosis that we mentioned earlier on Pei Dalet Amud Beis, that there's no Psulina of Amud Shachar with regard to Dam Nimsa, the Shirayim Eno Nifsal and Klal Bulina. There won't be any psul in Shirayim. Why? Dashkiya Sachama Eino Nifsolim Kedama Rabbi Yochanan. There's no psul of Shkiya Sachama in Shiari Adam, Again, the three matanos that are not critical are considered like the first one with regard to the psul of Shkiyah Sakham, but the Shiori Adam are not subject to the psul of Shkiyah Sakham. Ubalosa Shachar ein dam nifsal klal. And with regard to any dam, even the original critical dam, is not subject to the psul of Alosa Shachar. If that be the case, then with regard to Shiori Adam, there's no psul in Zman. There's not the psul of Shkiyah Sakham, there's not the psul of Amud HaShachar. And that's against the sugya in the first parak of Zvachim, because the first parak of Zvachim on Daf Yud Gimel says that if the Kohen has a machshava, al manas lichshpoch shirayim lemachar, a rezeh pigol, the carbon becomes pigol. V'amay avi pigol, lo avi machshevas chutz Zmanu. There is no such thing as a machsheves chutz zmano on Shiori Adam, because Shiori Adam don't become possible neither through Shkiyas Hakam nor through Amud HaShachar. So in other words, what we're saying here is that Tosvis in explaining our sugya here on Daf Lamed Vav came to the conclusion that there's no psul of Amud HaShachar in Dam. And that's why, in the case of Inichal of Machar, the reason that the Gemara says it's possible, and that's what Rashi insists, because Dam Nifsal B'Shkiyah Sachama. If not for the din of Dam Nifsal B'Shkiyah Sachama, then there would be no psul of Lina with Amud HaShachar with regarding Dam. But if you take that position, and you add into the cholent Rabbi Yochanan, who says on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis that the Shiori Adam is so fun, which means that you can do the Shvichas Shiori Adam on the Yisod of Zbech even Balaila, meaning there's no psul of Shkiyah Sachama with regard to Shiori Adam, then there's no psul Mimonavshat. There's no such thing as Chutz Zmano with regard to the Shiori Adam. And yet the Gemara says explicitly on Daf Yud Gimel that if the Kohen had a Machshav al Manas Lishpok Shiori Adam Lemachar Chutz Zmano, then it becomes Pigel. How could that be? It can only become pigul if you're thinking something about the dam that would make it possible. That's called chutz zmano. What's chutz zmano in Shiori Adam? How can it be a machsheves pigul with regard to Shiori Adam? The al korchach lomar, the af dam nifsal belina bialos hashachar. We don't have any choice here but to reject Tosfos at this point and maintain that there is a psul of lina bialos hashachar. And if there's a psul of lina regarding dam, then that psul is going to apply even to Shiori Adam. V'im kein havile l'Rashi l'farish. Now we're back to square one with our original question. Rashi should have said in this case of heniach dam l'machar that it's possible because of lina of alos hashachar. He didn't have to mention that specific psul of Shkiyah Sachama, which is a psul in dam. He could have simply said that it's a general psul that applies to all aspects, all dimensions of Kodshim, called Lina. So he ends this with a Tzarech Eir. He doesn't have an answer to this question. All right, see, it's getting late. Yeah, Ben.
So I'm just.
Can you repeat the Kasha? I mean, if I would quiz you, so to speak.
Okay, so I think I understand it. On the one hand, Shiori Adam does not have that time limit. And yet we see two steers earlier that even for Shiori Adam, that if he thinks of doing it outside of the Zman, it's going to be possible, but there's a contradiction. You just said that I don't have that time restriction. So how can you have a time restriction to make it possible?
Now, how do you know that there's no time restriction with regard to Shiori Adam?
I mean, we see that explicitly now.
Well, that's a combination of A plus B. We know that there's no Amud HaShachar to Pasal Dam, and that Tosfos says explicitly later on Pei Dalin. And that's why our Gemara that says when Rabbi Yehuda is arguing against the Chachamim, he says, well, you have to admit to me that if he says he's going to be Zorik to Dam tomorrow, then I'm saying if he was Zorik to Dam tomorrow, the karma would be possible. Says Rashi, the reason for that is because Dam Nifsal B'Shkiyah Sachama. Rashi does not invoke the principle that's a general universal principle in all Kodshim, that tomorrow means after Amud HaShachar, and therefore there's a psul of Lina. Apparently, as Tosfos says on Pei Dal, there's no psul of Lina in Dam. Again, I'm talking even about the critical Dam. How much more so in Shiori Adam? Elo, what? You're going to tell me that there's a psul of Shkiyas HaChama, because Dam Nifsal, that psul doesn't apply to Shiari Adam. That's the entire thesis of Rabbi Yochanan on Daf Lamed Ches, that the other three matanos in Chatos after the first matana have to be subjected to Zrika, the implemented Zrika, during the daytime and not at night, because it's Kitchilos and not Kisofon. It's not like Shiari Adam. Meaning that Shiari Adam could be poured over the Yesod HaMizbeach even at night. Which means that even though the carbon was brought by day, and therefore you would have applied the principle of Dam Nisal B'Shkiyas HaChama, that's only with regard to the Dam that's Nizrak Al Gavi Mizbeach. But the Dam of Shiari Adam, which is only on Kehar on the Yesod, there is no din of Yom. And even Belayla you can do that Zrika. I mean, Rav Yochanan's Chiddush is that the three matanos after the first, in the case of Chatos, are still considered critical, so to speak, not really, insofar as they require Yom and Dan Nifsal B'Shkiyas HaChama, in contrast to Shiari Adam, where there is no psul of Shkiyas HaChama. So we've proven A plus B. There's no psul of Amud HaShachar, of Lina, with regard to Dam, and that's true for all Dam. And that's why the Gemara here, when Rav Yehuda is arguing against the Chachamim, and he says, "Well, wait a minute. You agree to me that if you're not zorik to dam till the next day, it's possible." Rashi invokes the principle of dam nisal b'shkiyas HaChama. He avoids lina of amud hashachar because there is no psul lina with regard to dam. And now we take piece B into the equation, and that's the Gemara of Rav Yochanan Lamed Ches that there's no din of Yom as far as Dam Nifsal B'Shkiyas HaChama with regard to Shiari Adam. In other words, the halacha of Dam Nifsal B'Shkiyas HaChama is suspended with regard to Shiari Adam. Because Shiari Adam is not on the Mizbeach, it's on the Yisod. And that's a different kind of kiyum of Shiari Adam, but it's not a real Zrika. And therefore there's no din of Dam Nifsal B'Shkiyas HaChama. If we put A and B together, then there's never a time period, as you said before, in which Shiari Adam become possible of his bath, not B'Shkiya and not B'Amud HaShachar. If that be the case, how could the Gemara say on Daf Yud Gimel that if the Kohen had a machshava to take the Shiari Adam and pour them on the Keren on the Yisod HaMizbeach tomorrow, that is mafagel the karma. That's a psul of chutzus mano. How could that possibly be? And I looked up the Gemara just to make sure that I'm right here. And the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Harini, the Omar Bishas Kabbalah, he declares when he's Makabal Dama, Harini Makabal Dama, Almanas Lishpoch Shirayim Lemachar. And the Gemara says, Machshavtu Mefagelus Akarba. Now, what do you mean Mefagelus Akarba? That would be Chutzus Mano. Pigul is Chutzus Mano. What's Chutzus Mano in Shiori Adam? I was hoping that there would be a footnote here, but he doesn't have any comment on it. So that's why we have the Nefesh Tov. All right, Rabosai, we'll stop here.
So the Zrika does two things. It creates kapara for the bawling, and it also matirs the meat for the whoever's eating
right. The bawling. It's matir the Akhtarasi Murim, and then in turn, when you add both Zrika and Akhtarasi Murim, then it's matir the bosom. So it's A, B, and C. So you need two matirim to be matir the bosom. So you need one matir to be matir the Akhtarasi Murim.
But there could there not be a scenario in which kapara took place but the kohanim or the balim cannot eat the meat?
Well, again, if they're never makter the murim, then the balim can't eat the meat and the kohen can't eat the meat. No one can eat the meat. But you need the akhtar say murim to be makter the boss. So let's say the murim, for example, get lost or they become tamei, or for whatever reason he decides that he's not going to be mocked in the murid, then the basar has to be thrown out as well.
But the kapar took place in the zrika.
Yeah, that's what zrika. Zrika clinches the karma. No, the kapar is not karma.
Thank you.
Okay, now for the 11:45 shir, I have a page.